For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Okay, praise the Lord. We're looking at tonight modern versions attack biblical preaching. And this is a very important area. We're going to look at a series of sermons as to the specific areas where modern versions attack, because this attack is a design. You know, some people who trust in modern versions, they say, oh, it doesn't affect doctrines. But that's a lie. That's a false belief. In fact, the modern versions attack very, very important doctrines, and one that we're going to look at tonight is biblical preaching. Next month we'll be looking at modern versions attack biblical creation. So this whole area of preaching is the way God has determined and spoken the way the word is to be disseminated throughout the earth today, and for people to believe it and to have faith. Praise the Lord. So we see that preaching is connected to the power of God. In 2 Timothy 4 verse 2a we see the commandment, preach the word. So it's not just preaching anything, is it? It's preaching the word of God. And so biblical preaching is very, very important for every person coming under the hearing of that. They should see the value of biblical preaching. Romans 10 verse 8 says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. So we see that the word of faith that's preached should get into a person's heart or inner man, and thereby get into your mouth, because out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. So it's important for us to see that to get it into your heart, one of the primary ways that that happens is through the hearing of preaching. Also, Romans 16 verse 25a, the first bit says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. So what has the power to establish you, to put you in a firm position, to make you strong, to increase you? Well, it's the preaching of Jesus Christ. The preaching is very, very important. So we have to see that there is a connection between preaching and the power of God. So if you attack preaching, or you try to diminish it, or take it away, or undermine its importance, then that's a very serious thing. And we're going to see tonight how serious it is. Have a look also, if you've got your Bible here, 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 1, and we'll read this out. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 1. And in this verse it says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. So God wants the word of the Lord to have free course. And Paul is saying to the brethren, pray for us. So it is important to pray for the ministers of God, for the preachers, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified. And one of the primary ways the word of God is glorified is through preaching and people believing it, people taking hold of it and believing it. Now we see there is a washing through God's words And we see in Ephesians 5, 25b and 26, it says, Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. And so we see that there is an important function of the word of God in the church. And that is that it the sanctification process, which is setting people apart from the ways and the thinking of the world and to thinking and going the ways of God, and cleansing people, and it's a cleansing of your mind and an entry into your heart so that you can get faith, because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But the cleansing with the washing of water by the word is obviously so that there is a renewing of our mind, a renewing and a strengthening of our mind, and also a training of our body. And you can get that out of Romans 12 verses 1 and 2, which we won't read tonight. So there is a washing of God's words, and it is predominantly in the church that is happening. So if there is an attack on preaching the word of God, which as we saw before, there is a connection between the preaching and the power of the word, and as people believe it, remember there's got to be attentive ears that hear. And Jesus said that there are people that have ears to hear but do not hear. But if you have ears to hear and mix the hearing of the word with faith, or hearing of the preaching with faith, it's going to, as the Bible says in Hebrews 4 verse 2, it's going to profit you. It's going to profit you. So there can be people that will sit under sermons, under preaching, but because they have ears to hear but do not hear, in other words, their spiritual ears are clogged up, then they don't get profited by that. But the fact is that God is wanting to make his words accessible and to make it so that his people see the value of it. And God puts great priority on the preaching of the word of God. Now, there is a preservation of God's word. We'll touch a little bit on this. There's many sermons you can get from the website, for example. And Psalm 105 verse 8 says, He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. Well, if you take a generation as approximately 40 years, that's the word which he commanded to 40,000 years. Now, if you think about it, God's word must be preserved to multiple thousands of years from when it first came on the earth. And it's so very important for us to see that God remembers his covenant forever. And where is his covenant written? It's in the word of God, it's in the Bible. And we in fact have the New Testament, the New Covenant. And God has commanded his word to 1,000 generations. Now let's understand that God didn't inspire his word, cause them to be written down on parchments and so on, and then 2,000 years later we don't have access to 100% of his word. In other words, there are some people that seem to believe that the transmission of God's words through history are somehow lost, and there are people that believe that there is no such thing as a perfect translation. But we know that God's hand is not shortened. God is all powerful, and it is a very simple thing for him to be able to bring his word right through history perfectly, and even to the present day, where we have in our hands the final received text, which we believe to be, and know to be, I should say, the King James Bible, or the Authorised Version, we can also call it. So, understanding and knowledge comes from God, and preaching has a very important role in this. Proverbs 8, verses 8 and 9 says, "All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge." Some people say, "Oh, you can't have the King James Bible. It's got archaic words and it's too hard to understand and all that type of thing." All of that is wrong thinking. For a start off, it is the Spirit of God that gives people understanding as they are open to the Word, and it is the Spirit of God that leads us into all truth. And as we rely on the Spirit of God, He will open the Word to us. Now, sure, there are some hard sections in the Word of God, and that's why the Bible says to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that can rightly divide the Word. So it's important for us to see that if you become a person of understanding, and that comes by opening yourself up to the Lord and allowing the Spirit of truth to lead you and guide you into all truth, then it will be plain to you. The Word of God will not be a great mystery to you. It will be opened up to you. There's no doubt about that. Yes, there are some hard words, but that doesn't mean that we throw them out. All we do is we define them, and from then on we know what those words mean. So Psalm 119 verse 140 says, "Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it." So you can see a connection between the purity of God's word and loving God's word. And it is no coincidence that many in today's churches, particularly those who hold to modern versions, have very little love for the purity of the Word of God, and in fact try to actively combat any thinking that there could be a pure Bible on the planet Earth. Now, the King James Bible agrees with the majority of all extant or existing manuscripts. We should all be aware of that. And agrees with historical evidence. There's a lot of things we could say about that. At the very end of this, I've got some references that you can go to and read, if you like, which will help you in that area as well. So we come to an absolutely ludicrous situation in the churches today. We have a situation where modern versions are saying one thing and the King James Bible is saying another thing, and some people try to say, well, it's all the Word of God. Now, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever, because God is not a man that he should lie, and the Bible tells us that God is not a liar, and he's not the God of confusion. He's the God of truth. Now, truth doesn't have error in it. Okay, let's understand this. It's a very basic thing to understand. Nevertheless, it seems to be explained away by many that hold to modern versions. Not only do the modern versions contradict each other, but they all attack and contradict in many places the one Bible that it attacks is the King James Bible. Here we see an example, and I bring up an example from the New King James Version because I want you to see that the New King James Version is not just some people say, oh, it's just a revision of the King James Bible. It's not at all. It has many errors in it. I bring up one particular error here. For example, in 2 Kings 23, verse 29, the King James Bible, the true Bible, says the king of Egypt went up against the king of Assyria. That tells us that the king of Egypt went to war with the king of Assyria. Whereas the New King James Version in 2 Kings 23 verse 29 says the king of Egypt went to the aid of the king of Assyria. Now, who thinks that they're saying the same thing there? Well, they're not saying the same thing, are they? They're exactly the opposite. And do you know that that which is exactly the opposite cannot both be true? And so that which is the principle we've got to understand is that which is different cannot be the same. Both cannot be the word of God. Now, this is very easy to find out and easy to understand, and yet we're in a very strange situation in today's churches where there are multitudinous numbers of modern versions, and there's this pick and choose exercise. And some people might say, well, I don't agree with that in the NIV, the New International Version. I don't agree with that verse, but I'll quote this section. Hey, what you're saying, you don't agree with that verse, but you're happy to go and quote that other verse. Isn't that being inconsistent? How can you say that that one's in error, but that one's not? I mean, by what standard do you have here? Obviously, there is a very fluid type of behaviour here. The Word of God cannot have lies in it. I just want to go through this very quickly. For example, Titus 1 verse 2 says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. And 1 John 2 verse 21b says, no lie is of the truth. And Romans 3 verse 4 says, let God be true, but every man a liar. And the foundation of all of this error is the spirit of error from 1 John 4 verse 6. So modern versions and their attack on preaching, there are two ways that modern versions attack biblical preaching. Firstly, they undermine the authority of the Word of God as certainty and truth from which to preach. So you can see, for example, that if a new Christian saw that the King James Bible said one thing, but the New King James Version saying exactly the opposite in the same references, that would be extremely confusing. And they would say, well, you know, how can that be? It's a very strange situation that we're in, but it is a situation that's come about, and answers prophecy about the Laodicean section of church history. And we'll look at a couple of prophecies later. So they undermine the authority of the Word of God as certainty and truth from which to preach. We believe that the King James Bible, as we have it in our hands, is 100% true. So you can trust every word. And it is the received text, the final received text, in English today. Okay, and God, of course, knew that the end time language of the planet Earth would be English, which you can see right across the Earth. It's the language that's used the most. Also, the second way modern versions attack biblical preaching is they undermine the definition of preaching. Okay, and so therefore you'll see things where they actually change words that are very clear. So the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. Well, Matthew 4 verse 23a says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. So here we see Jesus, the greatest preacher this planet has ever seen, preached the gospel of the kingdom. Now it's the same gospel today, because it says in Matthew 24 verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So we see that Jesus didn't preach one gospel and we're preaching another type of gospel. No, the gospel that Jesus is the answer to sin, and that there is an entry into the kingdom of God through him remains the gospel of the kingdom today. In other words, people can come in to the kingdom of God through him. And we talked about that on Saturday, that you can see the kingdom of God, you can enter into the kingdom of God by believing on Jesus and receiving him. And we know that preaching is the method that God has chosen to get his words out. So let's look at an example of undermining of knowledge in modern version, because the kingdom of God is very important. For example, in Mark 10 verse 24, the King James Bible says, Jesus answered again and saith unto them, children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. Well, that's pretty clear, isn't it? If people are trusting in riches, of course it's hard for them to enter into the kingdom of God. However, the New International Version says, Jesus said again, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. So we see that there is a taking away of a crucial bit of information here for them that trust in riches. Now, of course, we know that the modern versions have substituted another Greek text, and so therefore they take a preferred corrupted text and therefore bring that out. But the majority of Greek manuscripts have that part of the verse, for them that trust in riches. We must see that this is not a made-up thing, but the King James Bible is very clear and accurate and true, and the NIV brings out a complete error. Now, someone might say, well, I don't agree with that in the New International Version, and so I'm not going to preach that. I'm not going to say anything about that one. But I'll use other verses in the New International Version. Now, why should I believe other verses in the New International Version if you can't even trust this Mark 10 verse 24? It's a completely inconsistent way of operating. So there is an attack on how people can enter into the kingdom of God. It is not hard to enter into the kingdom of God. It's a matter of believing, repenting and receiving. And it's a matter of bowing the knee and saying, you are right, Lord. I'm a sinner, if you haven't got Christ, and I need to come into the kingdom of God. I believe Jesus died for me. And that's not hard, but it does go against the pride of man, doesn't it? So the King James Bible makes the way clear. Here's another example, John 3, verses 3 and verse 7. Jesus answered, said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. So when Jesus preach the gospel of the kingdom, and when we preach the gospel of the kingdom, it has to be talking about how to get into the kingdom of God. Can everyone see that? And here we see that you cannot see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. And Jesus said, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. So the question comes about who must be born again. Well, John 3 verse 7 in the NIV says, you should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. Okay, well, what's the problem with that verse? You'll see it in a minute. Also, the New King James Version in John 3 verse 7, do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Is Christ only talking to Nicodemus about this? Or is he talking to more than Nicodemus? Well, note the important information. Marvel not, this is in John 3 verse 7 of the King James Bible, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Now, the King James Bible deliberately uses thee and thou and ye and thine and in you. Thee here is you singular. So he's talking to Nicodemus, I say unto you, thee, Nicodemus, ye, it's you plural, must be born again. So it's more than just Nicodemus has to be born again. You notice that the modern versions completely take that crucial bit of information out. That by itself is enough to say I'll have nothing to do with the New King James Version or the NIV or anything like that. Because, note, God put that information at the very beginning. That information, you singular, you plural. And what do the modern versions do? They take away that information. Now that is serious, to take away information that God has put in. Okay. So preaching the gospel of the kingdom, we quoted the fact that Jesus went about preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. What do the modern versions do? How do they get rid of this preaching? We don't want preaching, let's get rid of it. What do they do? Well, they do a little bit of substituting. Modernists take the word preaching out. So they say Jesus went throughout Galilee teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. Jesus was going about all Galilee teaching, and that first one came from the NIV, and then the Young's literal translation says, and Jesus was going about all Galilee teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the reign. So the Young's literal actually takes out the kingdom of God, as well as in place of preaching they put proclaiming, and in place of gospel they put good news. Now, gospel is more than just good news, okay? I could come and say, good news, I've got $20 for you. But see, that's not the gospel, is it? Okay? So you have to have the gospel of the kingdom, and the gospel that we talk about is referring to the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did, the good news of what he did. So it is a particular biblical word we don't want to lose, and we certainly don't want to lose the word preaching either. So why is preaching important? 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18 says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. So preaching is the power of God to those who believe. Let's also in your Bibles have a look at Hebrews 4 verse 2. It's a crucial verse for us to understand preaching and its benefits. Hebrews 4 verse 2. Notice what it says here. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So, if you want the word that's preached to profit you, and you have an opportunity every time the word is preached to get profit from the Lord so that it does something good for you, then you must mix it with faith. You must believe. You must believe it. You must say, I believe it and I will do it. If I have to change things in my life, I will change things and I will do it. And that will cause you to profit in the Lord. And notice it says, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So there are people that can hear all types of things but reject it because they're not mixing it with faith, they're not believing it, they're not receiving it, and they won't act on it either. So get rid of the preaching. That verse, 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18 in the New King James Version says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Oh, it's got this being saved in it. The same with 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18 in the NIV, the New International Version says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Something's not right here. The word message, it substitutes the word preaching, so get rid of preaching. Message does not mean preaching, okay? Message is not the same as preaching, and being saved is not the same as are saved. You're either saved or you're not. Okay? And we see here that there seems to be a progressive salvation being pointed to by the New King James Version and the New International Version. We cannot use such rubbish. We cannot use these type of things, and we should take every opportunity to get people out of this type of corruption. So why is preaching important? Well, 1 Corinthians 1 verse 21 says, "For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of" what? "Preaching to save them that believe." So people need to be saved from perishing in sin and going to hell. They need to be saved by the preaching. And it's foolishness to the world's thinking. And obviously, because the modern versions go the world's way and are trying to update according to the world, then of course there is a sway right away from God's way. Now, one of the sad things, and we talked a little bit about the fact that doctrines are indeed affected in quite a dramatic way. We've already seen some doctrines, for example, the doctrine of the kingdom of God and the doctrine of preaching has been attacked. There's also another very important doctrine that is heavily attacked by the modern versions, and that is the doctrine of hell. Modernists undermine the doctrine of hell. Let's have a look at one example here. The word hell occurs 31 times in the Old Testament in the King James Bible. In the Old Testament of the New International Version, it occurs 0 times. In the New Testament, the New International Version takes out hell 9 times. And so, okay, it's taken the word hell, which was 31 times in the King James Bible. And by the way, those 31 times in the Old Testament, the King James Bible, if you read all those verses on hell, you can get a firm doctrine of what hell is like and where it is and all that type of thing. You wouldn't get that from the NIV at all. Okay? So there is a clear undermining of the doctrine of hell. And you might say, well, what does the NIV use in those verses? Well, I'm glad you asked that. So hell is substituted by the modernists. For example, in Psalm 9 verse 17, the King James Bible says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." So it's talking about the types of people that will be going into hell. Wicked is the opposite of righteous. But Psalm 9 verse 17 in the NIV says, "The wicked go down to the realm of the dead, and all the nations that forget God." And the ERV says, "The wicked will go to the place of death, as will all the nations that forget God." It's very interesting that all the pagan religions, the heathen religions, had some sort of concept of where the dead go, but a lot of it was mixed with fantasy. And this type of thing, the realm of the dead, where you could go into Greek and Roman mythology and they had all types of things about the realm of the dead. But there's a clear undermining of the word hell there. This next verse shows a little bit about the doctrine of hell, because it talks about the pains of hell. Psalm 116 verse 3 in the King James Bible says, "The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow." So we can see that hell is a place of pain. Can you see how the doctrine is being built up bit by bit? But here we see the NIV in Psalm 116 verse 3 says, "The cords of death entangled me, the anguish of the grave came over me, I was overcome by distress and sorrow." So they talk about the grave. Okay, so completely take away any reference to hell and what hell is like. And we see in the New King James Version, it's just as bad. It says the pains of death surrounded me, instead of the sorrows of death, and the pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Look, I'm not even going to guess what Sheol is. And you, do you know that you can put the word hell into Google and you will get all types of images of a fiery place of torment? So the heathen understand what hell is, okay? And that very word hell is even used, I've seen it in posters and that, by the heathen themselves. They know what hell is. But if I went and said to the average person on the street, what is Sheol? They'd be scratching their head. Oh, I wouldn't know what Sheol is. So don't use the New King James Version at all. It is not a revision of the King James Bible. It is a substitute, a corrupt substitute, a counterfeit. Once again, hell substitute by the... So this is a doctrine, a major doctrine that's undermined. In Luke 16, verse 23a in the King James Bible, and in hell he lift up his eyes being in torments. So you can see that hell and torments is connected. But Luke 16, verse 23a in the NIV says, in Hades, where he was in torment. Once again, I'll be scratching my head. I'm not even going to guess what Hades is. I think it's something to do with Greek mythology, but it's certainly not anything to do with biblical doctrine. Same with the New King James Version, makes the same mistake. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes. Can you see why there is lots of confusion amongst the modernists? There is lack of faith. There is lack of doctrinal consistency and strength. Something really has happened. So the preaching the gospel, we come back to the word preaching, preaching the gospel needs to explain hell. And we see why in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And that word damned means damned to go to hell. That is, they'll be going to hell, which in the future will emerge with the lake of fire. So we see that there is a serious problem here with the modern versions. Just a few more. Changing God's words is a serious matter. Let's have a look at an example here. I want you to see this example because we have to understand the King James Bible is always correct, always true, always pure, not a problem. There are no contradictions. There are places that they might seem to have a contradictory nature, but they're just ones which are easily cleared up with a little bit of study. Okay, there are no contradictions. For example, let's see what the modern versions do to these two verses here. John 5 verse 31 in the King James Bible says, if I bear witness of myself, this is Jesus speaking, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. In John 8 verse 14a in the King James Bible, Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. Can you see here that the Bible's very clear here, witness and record are not the same thing. And so if he says, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. He said, if I bear a record of myself, my record is true. Okay, so there's no contradiction here at all. But let's have a look at what the modern versions do here. We see in the New King James Version, John 5 verse 31, modern versions substitute and cause contradictions all the time. John 5:31 in the New King James Version says, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. And then In John 8 verse 14a, in the New King James Version, Jesus answered and said unto them, "Even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true." Making out that Jesus is a liar, which is very serious. So you can see what they did. They substituted the word record with witness, thereby introducing a contradiction into their version. Do not use the New King James Version. It is a corruption. So let's have a look at what the NIV does with that. If I testify about myself, my testimony is not true. Jesus, and that's in John 5 verse 31. And then John 8, 14a, the NIV says, Jesus answered, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid." Once again, making Jesus out to be a liar. This is very serious, very, very serious. So we must make a decision to never use modern versions once you're aware of this type of thing. Okay? So I've gone through quite a few things tonight, and we've looked at how modern versions attack biblical preaching. And here's a few references. I'll just quickly go through these references so it's on the recording. And you yourselves can also, if you want to do a bit more study, and I encourage you to do so, you can listen to my sermon on the website, the Victory Faith Centre website, called The Importance of Preaching. There's also two books that I've written, which is on the website, Why Faith Christians Should Only Use the King James Bible and the Authorised King James Bible Connection. There's also, and once again this is on the website, there's a link there, by Matthew Vashur, Guide to the Pure Cambridge Edition of the King James Bible. Now that is an excellent textbook and goes into a lot of detail, and it's a very good one. Also a very good book, very easy to read, is Dr. Douglas D. Stauffer, One Book Stands Alone. So I encourage you to do your own research. Obviously, we'll be presenting information and preaching on this, a very important area here at Victory Faith Centre, but it's also up to you as well to be aware so that you can point out these things. And particularly with new Christians, you don't want them to be led astray thinking, oh, modern versions are just simply an update of the language. They're not at all. They change doctrine, they introduce contradictions, as we've seen, and they cause all types of destruction to faith. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you for your word. Your word is truth, and we praise you for that, Lord. And Father, I pray that all of us will have a renewed understanding and a renewed zeal about the Word of God. We praise you and thank you for the Word. We glorify you and ask, Lord, that your Word in this city has free course and is glorified in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Amen.